Amen. You may be seated. Well, indeed, I do welcome you to this service of worship this morning at Macedonia United Methodist Church. My name is Kevin Johnson, and I serve as pastor here. It is a joy to be with you on this Lord's Day. This morning, we begin a new series in the Gospel of Mark, and we'll be there for 6 weeks as we walk with Jesus. One of our values here at Macedonia United Methodist Church is walking with Jesus. And so this summer, we are going to do that literally as we follow Jesus throughout the Gospel of Mark. My prayer is that the stories that we read and hear once again will be those stories that remind us of just how interesting it is to walk with Jesus. Sometimes I think we have this kind of fairy tale-ish vision of who Jesus is. And we're going to see quickly today, especially in the Gospel of Mark, that that fairy tale vision does not hold up for very long when we take Jesus seriously and his words seriously. So this morning's sermon is called Breaking the Rules, and you will see why as we read this morning. So we begin in Mark's Gospel, the second chapter, starting in verse 23. Jesus went through the wheat fields on the Sabbath. As the disciples made their way, they were picking the heads of wheat. The Pharisee said to Jesus, "Look, why are they breaking the Sabbath law?" He said to them, "Haven't you ever read what David did when he was in need? When he and those with him were hungry during the time when Abiathar was high priest, David went into God's house and ate the bread of the presence, which only the priests were allowed to eat. He also gave the bread to those who were with him." Then he said, "The Sabbath was created for humans. Humans weren't created for the Sabbath. This is why the human one is Lord even over the Sabbath." Jesus returned to the synagogue. A man with a withered hand was there. Wanting to bring charges against Jesus, they were watching Jesus closely to see if he would heal on the Sabbath. He said to the man with the withered hand, "Stand up to where people can see you." Then he said to them, "Is it legal on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" But they said nothing. Looking around at them with anger, deeply grieved at their unyielding hearts, he said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." So he did, and his hand was made healthy. At that, the Pharisees got together with the supporters of Herod to plan how to destroy Jesus. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O Lord, let the words of my mouth and the thoughts and meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, for you are our rock and redeemer. Amen. 10 years ago, right around this time of year, I met my wife, Laura, and I was in Tallahassee, Florida for the summer. And if you think Raleigh is hot in the summer, go to Tallahassee. And so I was there for 10 weeks that summer, and Laura and I, soon after we started dating, a lot of times after work on those days, we would meet up at various apartment complex pools where we did not live and sneak into the pools. Now, I'm a rule follower. I have to be, right? I normally follow most of the rules, but I was like, you know what? Like, there's no harm in us sneaking into the apartment complex pool. We were 23. We looked like the people renting in the apartments there. No one was going to come up to us. And let alone, you could just be like, "Listen, pal, like, it's hot. Just let us swim a little bit." And so anyway, we go out and do this. But my wife is big time rule follower, all right? And I'm tattling on here, but she. It was literally like when we would go, she'd be like looking around as if like the apartment pool police department was going to be coming any time now to check and see if we had proper identification, if we had like the key fob for that particular apartment pool. Now, was I right to do this? I guess not, right? Did it hurt anyone? No. Do I feel bad about it? No, I don't. I just hope that one day my children won't be interested enough in hearing me confess my sins before you that they go back to a 10-year-old podcast that lives on in infamy, where indeed I admitted breaking the rules before you. You see, in this passage today, Jesus is not saying that the Sabbath is not important. As 21st century Americans, we want him to say this because we already don't care about it, right? So in 21st century America, we don't do Sabbath. I mean, the very phrase 24/7 means that we don't do Sabbath, right? Many of you work in jobs and in positions wherein, like, you have to carry around that blessed thing called a smartphone, and you don't, when you go home at night, it's like you're still supposed to check what's going on. And then even on the weekends, you feel the urge or the need, because maybe you have to, because a superior tells you to check and make sure that you're connected. Right? For most of our culture, if you drive around on a Sunday morning, it is business as usual, other than that they like get to wake up later and have brunch, for which I'm very jealous of sometimes. But right, it's business as usual on Sunday morning. And I've heard many of you tell me what it used to be like when you were growing up. You didn't have a choice about resting some on Sunday because nothing was open, right? So like, you couldn't go out to the place. And right now, it just feels like a pain when you can't go to Chick-fil-A on Sunday because it's closed, right? So, and it seems like that's the only day when you really want it and it's not there. And so I read this book some this week called 24/6. And it's by Matthew Sleeth, who is a doctor by trade and who has since become a Sabbath living type of specialist. And he wrote this excellent book that I was really intrigued by. And in it, he says this. He says, in the last 20 years, work is up 15% and leisure is down 30%. And things are only going to get worse. My friends, when Jesus comes on the scene, we need to recognize that Jesus is never taking away the law. A bunch of people like to say, well, I'm a New Testament Christian. I'm not an Old Testament Christian. My friends, we don't get the choice. Like, you don't get to abandon God for the first 39 books of the Bible. Just because we don't eat kosher doesn't mean that we don't follow the same God. See, Jesus doesn't undo the law. Rather, he fulfills the law. And what he says is that the law boils down completely to loving God and to loving other people. That is it, right? And the problem is that is really hard to do, to love God with heart, soul, mind, and strength and love your neighbor as yourself. And most of us are going to spend our entire lifetimes trying to figure out how to do that just a little bit better. So Jesus is not saying everything in the Old Testament, that stuff that I grew up having to learn, he's saying, that I memorized in rabbinical school as I was being trained, he's not saying that that is all garbage. He would never say that. Instead, right, when he teaches, he says things like, you've heard it said, don't murder, but I tell you that even if you're angry in your heart, you're already committing murder against someone. A lot of times what Jesus does is he ratchets up the law. Because what he wants to get at is the intent of the law. Because a bunch of us feel good because we don't necessarily steal or murder. And so we're like, well, at least I've got two of the Ten Commandments right, right? But Jesus is saying, well, but if you covet this in your heart, then you're already committing the sin. You see, Sabbath is not abandoned by Jesus. Rather, in his ministry, he shows the importance of rest, right? It's always like Jesus going away to pray on the side of the mountain. He's getting away from the crowds. He's trying to connect with his Father. Matthew Sleeth says it like this. He says, the point is that something very important about the character of God is revealed on the seventh day. God stops. He rests because he is holy, and everything that God does is holy. God rests. God is holy, therefore rest is holy. It's simple math. Rest shows us who God is. He has restraint. Restraint is refraining from doing everything that one has the power to do. God rests, therefore we rest. Now we could do a whole series and discussion on how do we live Sabbath in this type of world, and we probably should, and I was convicted that we should probably read this book together after reading it some this week, because even when I try my best, it is very, very, very hard to disconnect for let alone a few hours, right, in our culture. It's the way we've made it to be, and it's especially hard when you have a day off to like not do all the junk around home that needs to be cleaned up and everything, but to actually take time away, to actually take time to connect with God and one another. So Jesus isn't throwing out the Sabbath commandment in this text. But Jesus is saying that loving people is more important than following the letter of the law. I mean, Jesus has two specific interactions with the Pharisees here, right? The first one is this interaction where they're following the disciples around a wheat field, all right? Which is weird. Like, why are the Pharisees following them around in when they're going through a wheat field? And I guess a good snack was picking heads of grain off of wheat, all right? Which seems kind of weird to us, but maybe they were hungry, all right? And right away the Pharisees say, look, aren't they breaking Sabbath law to Jesus? Wanting to trap him, right? And Jesus flips it back on and he says, well, you Pharisees, don't you know what David did? He went in and he took the bread of the presence, the holiest bread in the Holy of Holies that was always there. He went in there, he wasn't even a priest, wasn't part of the tribe of Levi. He went in, he took that bread, and he gave it to the soldiers who were with him because they were hungry, right? So Jesus takes it to the Pharisees and says, I'm going to question right back at you, Pharisees. You're trying to trap us? Well, here's the deal. I'm even greater than David, is what he's saying. He's going to say even the Son of Man is the Lord of the Sabbath. And so then the passage continues, and we hear this other story where Jesus is in the synagogue, and there's a man with a withered hand. Now, we just hear that, and we're like, withered hand, what's the big deal? But, y'all, I mean, this is a culture where, like, unless you were a scholar, you worked with your hands. So to have a withered hand meant to have a dead hand, meant to have no income, meant that you were probably only begging as your alternative because you had no other way of making a living. Right? And so there, the Pharisees want to make charges against Jesus. They're watching to see if he would do something so bad as heal someone on the Sabbath, right? And he asks them this question. Is it legal on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil? To save life or to take life? Trapping them once again. You see, Jesus, in these responses, is showing why he's willing to break the rules. Because what he's saying is that the intent of the law is more important than the letter of the law. Matthew Sleeth says it like this. He says, it may be against the law to harvest grain on the Sabbath, but it is never wrong to feed the hungry. The laws against working were made to benefit people, not the other way around. And my friends, I think this is sometimes our issue with like our before our 24/7 culture, when we think about like 1950s example of the Sabbath. Because for some of you, when I've heard you talk about it and you were kids during that time, it doesn't sound like that restful Sabbath was anywhere near enjoyable for some of you. It sounds like, you know, grandma cracked the whip type of thing and made sure that you didn't have an ounce of fun. Like that fun and celebration also were not permitted on the Lord's Day. At least for some of you, that seems to be what I hear. I hear a little bit of disdain in your voice when you talk about the Sabbath. And around Jesus' time, a bunch of the rabbis who were scholars had added hundreds upon hundreds of extra rules to the Sabbath rules already in existence in the 651 case laws in the Old Testament to basically make sure that Sabbath day could not have a hint of work in it. So Jesus, of course, is saying, like, this is getting a little bit over the top, folks. Like, we're getting a little bit ridiculous in this and not recognizing the point of what's going on. And I think one thing to remember is that the intention of the Sabbath is not just to step back, is not just to not be producers, although that is one. But Matthew Sleeth says it like this, especially when tracking Jesus through the Gospel of Mark. He says, to walk with Jesus through the Gospels and to watch him work is to see the Sabbath restored to its original intent. On the Sabbath, he casts out demons. He heals scoliosis, shrinks peripheral edema, cures blindness, feeds the hungry, unlocks paralysis of a hand, and lowers a high fever. What we see here is that Jesus is living out the very purpose, the very intent of Sabbath. That Sabbath is freedom, Sabbath is healing, Sabbath is restoration. You see, Jesus is practicing the very true intention of Sabbath law when he heals, when he allows people to be fed. But this story is not really about Sabbath observance at all. Rather, it reveals our heart condition. You see, the Pharisees in chapter 2 of Mark's gospel, we got a long ways to go. In chapter 2, they're ready to pounce Jesus. Right at the end of this passage, at that, the Pharisees got together with the supporters of Herod to plan how to destroy Jesus. I mean, the word destroy, like it wasn't like trap, it was destroy, right? So they are ready to take him. They're following him through a wheat field, trying to trap his disciples to see if they would do something that would constitute work so they could have charges brought against him. If we make this story all about how stores should be closed on Sunday, then are you visiting any stores on this day? Like, will you fill up your car with gas so that there has to be an attendant working there? Will you pick up a few things at the grocery store? Will you go out for lunch after this? Right, I mean, we have all sorts of examples. I mean, a bunch of us are going to break the Sabbath today, right? Some of us probably already have, or in many, many ways, we could probably think of ways that we do just by our living. So the story is not about hearkening back to the good old days and saying, shouldn't everything be closed? Because we recognize that that's an impossibility in our world today. Instead, it's about what happens when we turn God's commands into something that they weren't intended to be. So, right, what happens a lot of times is we turn a message about saving sex for marriage into shaming people's bodies and making them believe, even when they enter into marriage, that sex is dirty and bad. Or we turn a stance that's against gambling into something that says that all card playing is bad, like some of you might have grown up with. And I went to a college that I think didn't recognize card playing as an allowed activity until like 5 years before my time there, right? We had all these ways that we would create ways that would say, I mean, there's nothing wrong with playing a game of spades with your buddies, like, but it became this kind of, let's make more rules on top of more rules so that we feel good that we're at least following those ones. You see, in this Pharisaical type of religion, following Jesus becomes nothing more than a list of ways that you can't have fun. And for a lot of our culture, this is what following Jesus means. Have less fun. And when we do this to the Jesus message, we make it something that it never was or never was intended to be. That's why a bunch of your neighbors or a bunch of your friends or a bunch of your family have no interest in following Jesus because they think it's just a set of rules that they have to follow. And frankly, they don't sound fun, right? And they don't see the attractiveness of coming into the way of Jesus because all they know about is kind of a set of rules that no one can actually really follow, and so they see hypocrisy in it. My friends, how is healing someone else ever breaking God's intent for the Sabbath? How is it? And that's what Jesus is intending to point out to those Pharisees, right? Like, you're saying that me helping heal someone, restoring their economic possibility in our society, restoring even their very life, how is that hurting them? How is that hurting what God's intention is for the Sabbath? Matthew Sleeth, in that book, he shares a story of a man named Bill who is in town for an interview. And at the time, Sleeth is an ER doctor, all right? So he's an ER doctor, and he was on call this one night. And this man's interview went well that night, but then he entered a problem because he's in his mid-50s and he went to go to bed. When he went to go to bed, he couldn't use the restroom. I was experiencing a great deal of pain with that. And I won't get into the details of all of that, but the man goes to the ER at 3 in the morning, right? And all of a sudden the doctor gets called. And the nurse who's there in the ER wants to check his vitals and make sure that his vitals are all good, but she can't find a blood pressure monitor on that floor. And so she leaves this man, who is doubled over in pain, right, because he cannot release. And all he needs is a catheter put in, but the nurse is going away trying to find the blood pressure monitor. And she has to then call the doctor to make sure that the paperwork is followed through and that she can do the type of things that needs to be done. And finally, the doctor gets in there and he does what needs to be done for the guy so that his bladder can be relieved. This nurse, she couldn't recognize the suffering of this man, Bill, in that very room. She had been trained so well in the particulars of how to do her job that she couldn't recognize that sometimes the particulars don't need to be followed through and you just need to relieve the guy. All right, just need to help out this man who is struggling. We'll handle his blood pressure issues later, right? She couldn't see. She couldn't see the forest because she was so deep into the trees. She'd become Pharisaical in her nursing procedure. My friends, my challenge for us is not to live our lives wondering which of God's rules that we didn't follow just right. Instead, I want us to allow Jesus to show us whether we are living out the purpose of his law, the purpose of his intent for us. And my friends, we do this by, when we read Scripture, not just reading it for content, but letting the Bible read us. We do it by when we pray, not just giving God a litany of requests that we throw at him, but allowing us to hear back from God. My friends, the challenge is that we might live joyfully, celebrating the gift that Sabbath is and attending to God's restoring and reconciling work in us and in the world. May it be so. Amen.